Hey everybody, it's John Fusco here again, and I'm happy to say we've got another great interview for you this week. At this point, I don't think it's any secret that I'm sort of a genre fiend, so when I saw that Netflix would be premiering their new season of the dystopian sci-fi series Black Mirror at TIFF, I jumped on the chance to talk with a few of the directors. If you aren't familiar with the anthology show, Charlie Brooker's Black Mirror started off as a TV show on Great Britain's Channel 4, not the BBC, as I embarrassingly get called out for later on. A few years later, it went on to become a sensation in the United States thanks to millions of binge watchers on Netflix. When Channel 4 announced they would no longer be producing the show, it only made sense that Netflix would pick it up and start funding a new season themselves. The season premiered last night, so it's on Netflix now, but don't worry, I avoided giving away any spoilers. This episode of the No Film School podcast is broken up into two parts. The first is an interview with Joe Wright, who directed the episode Nosedive. This episode paints a picture of a future where every single interaction leads to a rating on social media. The higher your person rating, the more access you get to certain expensive privileges. The lower it is, well, let's just say you don't want a low score. Mr. Wright has directed some super high-budget features, including Atonement, Pride and Prejudice, Anna Karenina, and most recently, Pan. Among other things, we discussed his transition from big-budget picture to streaming TV, and how your actors may be the most important tool you have as a filmmaker. So I'll just ask you to introduce yourself for our listeners.
Hello, my name's Joe Wright, and I am the director of Nosedive, which is an episode of Black Mirror.
So let's start off with sort of a question about directing for an anthology series in itself. How is that different than, say, directing for episodic TV or for a feature?
I don't know. I've never done episodic TV. So doing this was really like doing a film, you know, a short film. One had the freedom to create your own world and develop a story that was in and of itself, characters. And it was really refreshing, actually. I loved doing it. It had less pressure than a movie. Having just come from Pan, which was quite a painful experience, the release was.
Well, it's a huge movie.
Yeah, it was a big movie, and the release was a very painful experience. And so it was exciting to do something that was fresh and about great writing, great actors in rooms talking to each other, you know. It really was a way of getting back on the horse and remembering why I love doing what I do.
Let's talk a little bit about that collaboration with Charlie Brooker then. Just sort of the process that you guys use. He's such an imaginative writer. How do you take such a unique vision of a writer and sort of twist that into your own vision or make his words come out visually?
Well, the interesting thing about Charlie is that he, you know, he writes great drama. And although the technology is very specific, the world is not. So there's a lot of freedom there to develop a world that is entirely from one's own imagination. There's a lot of freedom in the process. The script was brilliant, and I don't think I changed anything, not a line. But it was very much, you know, the script either described the technology or gave the dialogue. But there was no, you know, description of the world. There was no description of the color palette or anything really, other than the interaction and connection or disconnection between the human beings. It looked on the page a little bit more like a play script than a film script. And that was incredibly refreshing too. It gave, you know, it gave one a very firm foundation from which one could spring and let the imagination fly.
So then let's talk about some of the strategies that you would use to sort of build this world, because it was so fully realized. You mentioned the color palette. There was definitely some Stepford Wives sort of elements in there. What were like sort of your... I'd say like totem poles to keep your world intact, you know what I mean?
Well, really, the main starting point was an island on the coast of South Africa, which was a little gated community where all of the exteriors were shot. And that place felt quite strange. It is quite a kind of homogenized place. The architect's designs on the island are a kind of template of what you can build there. There's only a certain number of colors that you're allowed to use on this island. So it's a very kind of homogenized world. And really that was the inspiration for the world in its entirety. We took that kind of grain and blew it up into an entire world. My wife comes from just outside San Diego, and I used to drive up and down that road from LA to San Diego quite a lot.
I know the road.
Yeah, and really that was the inspiration as well, that kind of area of Southern California.
Sort of like a desolate desert.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah,
like,
it's kind of quite an unnatural place, really. I'm not sure that human beings were meant to live there.
Just strip malls, and that's pretty much it.
And there's no countryside.
Yeah.
It's apart from a bit of military land, there's no break in the suburban sprawl all the way down.
Right.
Which I found really interesting as well.
Cool. So I guess shifting gears very quickly, because this is a show about sort of the potentials of technology, where do you see TV heading? This is obviously a Netflix original. Do you think that streaming services are sort of where directors can look for work in the future as far as a
certainly
starting off point?
I really like working for Netflix. It has all the benefits of television without the kind of negatives. You know, you're not having to build to a cliffhanger at the end of every episode to keep audiences coming back next week.
True.
There are no commercial breaks. You get a decent budget, not a profligate one, but something that one can work with, which means you have time to work with the actors. It was a 4-week shoot. Most of my movies are 2 hours and therefore a kind of 12-week shoot. So it was kind of tight, but I'm really excited about the future of television and streaming services. I like watching it, you know, I have Netflix and I watch it. It feels like an exciting time. It feels like the audience have a bit more control, really.
That's a good point.
Yeah, is a good thing.
It's interesting how you say that. It sort of influences the structure of like screenwriting itself. Is there any sort of collaboration or communication between the different directors of the anthology series, or is it sort of a final product you just get to see everyone's work?
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the others. I met Owen, who directed San Junipero, whilst I was out in South Africa, and asked him about the crew that he was using, but that was it, really. So there was no conversation between the different productions, if you like.
And then are you assigned sort of an episode, or did you get to look through the episodes and?
No, it was kind of like the next one up.
Okay.
They needed a director for this one, and they shot them kind of one after the other. So they had already hired Owen, and I expressed an interest in doing an episode, and they showed me the script, and I said, "Yep, I'll do that."
Yeah.
It was really that simple.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jealous.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm, yeah, it was some jobs are really hard work and everything is kind of tough. This one was like butter. It was very easy and simple, really, you know. It was great.
Did you get to cast the episode yourself?
Yeah.
So like, yep. They just kind of gave you
yep. I said, I'd really like Bryce Dallas Howard to do this. And they went, oh, that's a good idea. So I called Bryce. I'd met her 10 years ago, I think, for a casting for Atonement, and absolutely loved her, but she was completely wrong for the film. So I'd always sort of had in the back of my mind that I wanted to work with her. And then I read this script and she seemed like the perfect Lacey. So I called her up and said, do you want to do this? And she said, yes. And that was it.
Great.
Yeah.
Everything seems really dreamlike and easy.
It's odd.
Well, okay. So wrapping things up, I would just have to ask, we ask almost everyone this. Mm. You're familiar with the site, which is great. What if you had one piece of advice for emerging filmmakers or young filmmakers or people trying to break out of the scene, what would you give?
For directors?
Yeah, for directors. Or, that's an interesting...
Well, because they're, you know, filmmakers is all of us, really.
Yeah.
But for directors, I'd suggest that nothing is more important than the story, but second to the story are the actors, and therefore try and gain some experience in theatre. Because that will give you the experience of working with actors without having to be worried about budget. Yes, shot construction is really important, and lighting, and you know, but there are other people who can deal with all of that stuff. You have cameramen, and you have gaffers, and you have editors and composers and so on, but your main priority must always be the actors. That relationship between actor and director is sacrosanct, and there's no one else to guide them through the process. That's your entire responsibility. So I'd say a really good idea is to get some actors together and put on a show in a warehouse or your living room, or you know, what we call fringe theatre in London. And get to know how actors think and work. Acting is not some strange witchcraft. It is a craft, and can be understood. So I'd say that's the kind of your primary focus.
That's very refreshing to hear. No one ever gives advice about working with actors.
Really?
We ask this question time and time again, and it's always, never give up, never surrender, that sort of thing. But it seems like there's not a lot of focus given on actors. I actually went to school for theater, so completely agree with you that if the actors aren't in place, you know, you don't have
I also hate theatrical filmmaking. I mean, I think film needs to be divorced from the theatre, but it does allow an opportunity to, and that's why British actors are so popular.
Absolutely.
And it's why, you know, a lot of the British directors, Sam Mendes and Stephen Daldry and Stephen Frears, and you know, a lot of these British directors started in theatre.
Yeah.
And it's a great foundation.
You heard it. Go find a play, find some actors, and just put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Read plays.
Yeah, read plays. Absolutely.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Are there any sort of methods or any, like, there's Strasberg, Meisner, Adler, any that you identify with?
No, I don't like any of them, really. especially not Strasberg.
Yeah.
Because I find, actually, Strasberg's sort of method distances the actor from the character. So, you know, emotional recall, for instance, where if you're imagining, you know, if you're playing a character whose son has died, and you think, okay, well, the closest experience I've had to that was when my dog died, so I'll remember the feeling of my dog dying and use that and replicate that or reignite that feeling when playing the scene where my son dies.
Right.
Actually, you're just playing your dog dying. You're not playing your son dying.
And you're just beating yourself up.
Yeah.
You're like going into a corner and trying to
acting,
remember this.
Acting, as all arts, is about the imagination. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, the best actors are ones with the best imaginations, you know, and a dramatic imagination, an emotional imagination. A painter needs a great pictorial, a visual imagination, and a composer needs a great musical imagination. Actors need great emotional imaginations to find the unusual truth within the character and the drama that they're playing.
Sanford Meisner said the goal of every actor should be living truthfully under imaginary circumstances. I think that's a pretty good way.
Yeah, I think that's a great line.
Yeah.
Cool. Great. Easier said than done.
Yeah. Very much easier.
Yeah,
well, thanks, Joe. It's been a pleasure. Next, I talked with Owen Harris, director of the pilot San Junipero episode. This episode imagines a future where VR provides a peaceful transition into death. No stranger to the series, Mr. Harris also directed the classic Be Right Back episode back in season 2. For those of you who have seen season 2, it's the episode about a grieving woman who uses a computer software that allows you to talk to the deceased. We discuss the differences between directing for anthology and episodic TV, and Harris's open collaboration with writer-creator Charlie Brooker. I am speaking with Owen, another director from the Black Mirror series. Can you introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Owen Harris. I am the director of San Junipero, which is the latest episode on the new season of Black Mirror.
So let's start with this question I asked Joe earlier, but you might have more experience since you've directed episodic TV before. What would you say are the main differences between directing episodic TV and anthology TV?
I mean, Black Mirror isn't really episodic. Is that what you mean?
No. Yeah. It's like anthology.
It's anthology. I see. Yeah. No. So I've done Misfits before, mm-hmm. Which I think it's just the fact that you. What's great about Black Mirror is that you get to set up a completely brand new world every time that you do it. Whereas obviously when you're doing something episodic, each episode returns to the same scenario, characters, and gets developed and. And they both have their. I guess it's a slightly different skill set across both, because you've got in episodic television, obviously you've got a lot more time to build characters. You've got longer to develop storylines and everything. But then you've still got the pressure of making each one feel tight and entertaining. Whereas with something like Black Mirror, which is anthology, you've got a certain amount of time to create a sense of character, tell the story, and yes, they're
very complex stories too.
They're all very complex stories. I mean, I think it's the great thing about Charlie's scripts is that he does cover a lot of ground during them, and at the same time, you've always got fascinating characters, and you feel like they're alive, and you believe in them, and yeah, it's great writing.
So we're talking about Charlie a little bit. What was your collaborative process with him like?
On San Junipero, San Junipero script didn't change a huge amount. The one before Be Right Back, I think we went backwards and forwards over the ending a few times, little bits and pieces. But the collaboration is quite often then beyond that. It's about turning those scripts into a world, right, and how you approach that world and create that world and what it looks like and all of that sort of stuff. So the collaboration sort of started there as opposed to on the actual sort of script itself. And he's great. He's a very generous collaborator, and building these worlds isn't always easy, because obviously with the nature of this story, you're playing with people's expectations. So yeah, it's always fun to make.
He's just like such an imaginative writer.
Yeah.
That I imagine the process from, you know, taking his words and transforming them visually into something of your own is difficult. What was that like for you?
I mean, I think it's also quite... you feel quite confident doing it, because they're always very confident scripts. The dialogue's always very good. So you... The challenge is always a tonal one, I think, with Black Mirror. It's sort of... you don't want to be indulgent with it. You've got to still treat them like real stories. You've got to treat the people like real people, even though often the world, the places it takes you are incredibly exaggerated. You've got to try and treat them as real. And I think that it's more of a tonal challenge with his work, but that's the most fun part of it, I think.
So how are you brought onto this endeavor?
When I did the last one, I think that I'd just finished what I'd done. I did a BBC film about... Monty Python, and I'd done Misfits and things like that.
Cool.
They'd seen that, and I went in, and I think I spoke to them about the first season, and I wasn't available for the first season, so that when the second season came around, I really liked what they'd done, and I did Be Right Back, yeah.
What is that transition from the BBC to Netflix like?
In the end, I don't really, I'm just thinking about the script, so
each
whoever it's for, they all have different ways of working. I've really enjoyed working with Netflix. I thought they were really good to work with, especially when you consider Black Mirror is a complicated tonal piece. I thought they were great. They were really, really great. They really got it, really sort of got behind it. And the BBC's, the BBC's also, you know, they're very confident. You know, historically they do great stuff. Yeah, so yeah, they've all got different ways of working there.
Did you ever feel sort of like beheld to maintaining the tonal sort of aesthetic of the BBC's Black Mirror in this transition?
The last Black Mirror was for Channel 4.
Oh, it's for Channel 4.
Channel 4. Okay. And again, the work that Channel 4 do is quite similar to the sort of stuff that's on Netflix.
Okay, yeah.
But their process was different. But tonally, no, I think what I love about Black Mirror is that tonally you start from scratch each time. I mean, I think that there were definitely some similarities between this one and my last one, but there were just similarities in terms of where you start off with, which is in this sense of optimism, and then where that sense of optimism takes you. But each one felt quite tonally very, very different, which is fun to do, I think.
Yeah, it's awesome. If you had any sort of advice for young filmmakers,
yep.
What's your best piece of advice for filmmakers trying to break onto the scene?
Do you know what? Something that I'm learning even now is that I think it's really valuable to write stuff, to write your own stuff, to learn about what you're doing through where it sort of starts, which is a script. I think that the one thing I've learned is that you never get away from the script. So it's got to be a fantastic script if you want to make a fantastic film. And I think that if you can learn by writing your own stuff, even if you don't make it, just learn the pitfalls and the things to look out for. I think that's one thing. And then I think it's also important to find collaborators, that the people that you're gonna share a vision with, and it's difficult, it's trial and error until you find the people that you think can share your tone of voice, because you can't do it on your own. I think that's the last piece of advice, that you don't think you can do everything. I think that you've got to be generous and listen and learn. And if you do that, then you've got a chance of doing something good, I think.
Something that you said struck me about, you know, making sure that the script is in place,
yeah,
before you go on. I was talking with a few other directors about that yesterday, and it's been interesting to hear sort of the disparity. Some directors sort of swear by making discoveries within the filming process itself, and then others are all more about making the discoveries earlier within the screenwriting.
I think that you can be a lot more confident making discoveries once you're filming if you already know the script is working well. I think then it can be a lot of fun. And I'd never say just shoot the script. I think the great thing about filmmaking is to discover things. I would hate to reach the end of a job and feel like I've only just shot the script.
Yeah.
I think you're constantly trying to, I think every day, every scene, you're discovering new ways of telling it and seeing it, just because of the way you turn up and the way the light is and what times of day you shoot at and what that means to a scene. And so I think it's a mixture of both, but I think if you can start in a place where you feel very confident with the material, then you're already in a, you know, heading in the right direction.
Yeah, and I'm sure your crew sort of becomes more confident about you
too.
They do,
yeah, they do. And I think that, yeah, I mean, there's nothing like people walking onto set for the first time having read a script that they love and they're already into, and then everyone's up for trying new stuff and having a bit of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Owen.
Thank you.
Short
great.
And sweet.
Yes, great. Well done. Take
Thanks for listening, everybody, and be sure and check out Black Mirror on Netflix now. Remember to rate and subscribe to the No Film School podcast if you like us, and we'll see you Thursday for Indie Film Weekly.